Grace to and peace from that risen Lord, our source of life, as we gather around His Word and rejoice in His promises, we receive that grace and that mercy and that peace. It was probably a couple of weeks ago by now, I was putting gas into my car. And of course, there's nothing to do when you're putting gas in your car except watch TV. Got that little screen in the pump. So as I'm watching that little screen in the pump, it just kind of caught me that there was this little 30-second blurb that was describing, based on, I think he called himself a spiritual activist. I hadn't heard that term before. And maybe you've seen this one. The spiritual activist was talking about how you handle your inner critic. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling bad, when you're feeling confused, when you're not exactly sure what's going on, when you've got this sort of negativity that is weighing you down, his suggestion, his advice for how to deal with that inner critic was to give it a funny name. Give it a funny name so that when you start having those doubts and you start having those concerns, when this negativity starts to wear you down, you give it this name that just kind of belittles it. Makes it seem foolish, makes it really seem out of touch, makes it so ridiculous that it just simply cannot be taken seriously, and so you just ignore it. You're going to learn a lot when you're putting gas in your car. To me, that sounds an awful lot like the conscience, doesn't it? That inner critic. And I'm not so sure, as you and I at times struggle with why and how and why am I feeling the way I'm feeling and why is this not maybe making me feel bad? I'm not so sure that the best thing to do is try to belittle it to the point where you just simply ignore it. Maybe there's a better way to deal with those questions. Perhaps there's a better way to deal with when you have those doubts and you have those fears. I think you know the way. You and I rejoice this day in our risen Lord and Savior, that risen Savior who is life. We just heard Him remind us that as that branch, as the vine, He's the one that gives us branches life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. You and I find all of our answers in Him. So we turn our attention this morning to our second lesson from 1 John chapter 3. And a couple of different times you're going to hear the Apostle remind us that we know. No doubts, no concerns, we know. We know that we are in the truth. And we know that we remain in Him. And as he talks about those two things, the natural question that comes up is, how? And then he tells us how. So let's take a look at that first one as you and I just simply rejoice that we don't have to be concerned, that we don't have those doubts. We know. We know that we are in the truth. How is that possible? I mean, how can you be absolutely sure? How can you be certain that you are in the truth? Because Pilate's question is very much popular today too. What's truth? And that's very much in the same vein as Pilate did. Truth seems to be rather fluid at the time. Truth seems to be whatever it is that you'd kind of like it to be at the moment. Truth is one of those things that we have a tendency to kind of rewrite and reinterpret based on where I am in life and what I want to be doing and if it makes somebody else feel better or not. What is it? How can I know that I am in the truth? When perhaps I'm not even sure what truth is. This is how. Dear children, let us love not only with word or with tongue, but also in action and truth. This is how we know that we are of the truth and how we will set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. That's the first of three ways that the Apostle tells us that we know we are in the truth. We know we are in the truth if our hearts condemn us. And they will. Call it inner critic, give it a funny name, do whatever you would like, but your heart is going to condemn you. No matter how much we rewrite the truth, no matter how much we change the truth, no matter how much we try to set aside what we learned in confirmation class because that's old and outdated, the heart is going to condemn. It's going to remind you day after day because that law of God is written right here in our hearts. And even as we try to ignore it at times, it's going to be reminding us day after day, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't be living in this way. I shouldn't be thinking those thoughts. So if our hearts condemn us, and they will, but God is greater. God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. In some ways, that doesn't give us a whole lot of comfort because that means God knows the sin. He knows the sin that I'm trying to rationalize. He knows the sin that I'm trying to justify. He knows the sin that I have managed to rationalize and justify to the point that I don't even know it's a sin anymore. But that doesn't make me less guilty. He knows all of that. But God is greater than our hearts. When our hearts condemn us, then you and I come and we listen to what our Lord and our God has to say again, and we know. We know that we are in the truth because God knows everything. He also knows what He did about my guilty conscience. We know what He did about our sin. Jesus came. He sent His one and only Son. And now God looks at you and me and He sees perfection. He sees people that He doesn't count as guilty anymore because there is nothing there to make us feel guilty. It's all been taken away. That perfect life of our Lord and our Savior is guaranteed to us because He is risen. He is risen indeed. And that perfect life was sacrificed on your behalf so that all of the things that do condemn us, all of the guilt that we do carry with us, has been lifted from our shoulders and taken to that cross. We know. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, we know we are in the truth. If our hearts condemn us, we go running to the God who is greater than my heart and knows what He has done to take care of that condemnation. We know we are in the truth. Sometimes our hearts condemn us, sometimes it doesn't. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God. There are times when our hearts do not condemn. What we did was right, what we said was good, what we thought was right in line with God's holy will. And now we get to stand before our Lord and our God in absolute confidence. Standing before God kind of sounds intimidating. But we know. We know that we are in the truth. We know that we can stand before our Lord and our God with a clear conscience, and that's because of Jesus too. Because of all that He has done, because of His life, and because of His death, we have that absolute confidence. We do not need to be intimidated coming before our Lord and our God. We stand before Him. We know. We know we're in the truth. No doubts. And He gives us another reason too. We also receive from Him whatever we ask because we keep His commands and do what is pleasing in His sight. You've got to follow His train of thought here a little bit because this isn't how you and I normally think. But you and I know that we are in the truth. We know we can stand before our Lord and our God. We know that heaven is ours because we are keeping His commands. And we're doing what pleases Him. That's not us earning forgiveness. That is not us earning our way into heaven. That's you and me recognizing the fact that if I'm doing God's commands, that's because I'm a believer. If I want to do things God's way, if I want to find the things that give Him the glory and the praise, that means I'm already a believer because otherwise I wouldn't care. I wouldn't be interested in what God's will is. I wouldn't care what gave Him the glory and the praise if I didn't first rejoice in the fact that I'm God's forgiven child. You and I rejoice in that amazing gift that whatever we ask, He gives to those things. We keep those commands. We do what is pleasing in His sight. And then we don't even have to try to figure out what that is. It's not up to us to try to create some place to go or things to do in order to please our Lord and our God. He tells us. This is His command. that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that we love one another just as He commanded us. Amazing what we know. We know that we are in the truth. We know that our Lord and our God watches over us and cares for us. And the things that our Lord and our God want us to do, He gives us the ability to do. Believe in Jesus. He gives you that ability. That powerful word is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. You and I listen to this word. We rejoice in that baptism. We come to the supper, and that is where the ability to know who your Lord and your Savior comes from. And when we know who our Savior is, when we believe in Christ Jesus our Lord, then we just simply love each other. We look for those ways to reflect that love. We look for those ways to share that love. We know. No doubts, no concerns, no what ifs. We know we're in the truth because God tells us what that truth is. And as we stand in that truth, and as we know that truth, we also know that we remain in Him. Another beautiful promise of our Lord and our God through His apostle. And I suppose we can ask the very same question. How can we be sure that we remain in Him? How do we know? Is He even here? Again, we're living in a society that's busy trying to tell you that there is no such thing as God. And if they're willing to admit that He's there, then it's just however you define Him or whatever you think about Him. Is God really here? Can we remain in Him? All these difficulties that we face, all the struggles that we have, all the antagonism that we endure, all the sickness that comes our way, isn't that proof that God doesn't exist? Isn't that proof that God must not care? Otherwise things would be going great, right? How do we know that we remain in Him? Well, this is how. The one who keeps His commands remains in God and God in him. This is how we know that He remains in us. We know it from the Spirit whom He has given to us. We get to remain in Him. And we remain in Him every time we come to His precious means of grace. As we're keeping His commands, as we stand in that Word, as we are reminded again and again of what we know, we know His truth, and because of that, we remain in Him. When we are reminded of those things, we come back to this Word. We hear what He says, not what I think. We hear what He says, not the philosophy of the world. We listen to Him. We hear what He says to us in our baptism. Ever since that water was applied to your head in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that's when He gave you the name Christian. Claimed you as His very own, made you part of His family, and has been holding on to you ever since. However old those promises are, they never wear out. They never get old. Those promises remind you so that we know we remain in Him. We come to the supper. The very personal assurance of the forgiveness of your sins as Jesus gives you His body and He gives you His blood in with and under that bread and that wine to assure you that He is really present and that you are really forgiven. We remain in Him. We know we remain in Him because of that amazing Word that is there. And so we remain in that precious gospel. We listen to that means of grace and we remain in Him. And that's possible. Because in that very same means of grace, He remains in us. We know it because of the Spirit that He sends. God's the one who takes the initiative. He's the one that gets this started. But as people who already know, who our Lord and our Savior is, who already rejoice in the fact that we are in the truth and already know that we remain in Him, we keep coming back to the very same place that our Lord and our God came to us. And you know what happens. You read that Word, you remember those promises, you rejoice in this gift, the Spirit comes. The Spirit puts faith in your heart. The Spirit builds faith in your heart. The Spirit strengthens that faith in your heart. And the more that your heart is built and strengthened, that faith begins to act. And it wants to go back to the Word. And it wants to be in the Spirit. And it wants to remain in Him. And as you are in that Word, the Spirit is coming. And He moves in. And He turns your body into a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are claimed as His own dear child. And the more the Spirit moves in and He is in you, you want to be in Him. You see what's happening? The circle continues. All in that amazing means of grace. We know. Even as we struggle with this world, even as we struggle with going on in our lives, we know. There's no doubts. There's no what ifs. So when that inner critic, if that's what you want to call it, rears its ugly head, when the hearts begin to condemn us, may I suggest you forget the silly name thing? We've got a better name. Instead of giving it a name that you can use to just kind of belittle it and set it aside, run to the name of Jesus. Run to that Savior. Run to the one who is your life. Run to the one who is the source of your life. And whenever we struggle with what we know, we go back to not my doubts, not my musings, not my philosophies, not whatever it is I think makes sense, but I go running back to Jesus' promises, and then we know. We know we are in the truth. It's His truth. We know we remain in Him because He's remaining in us. Amen.